I want to take you to the word that he kind of pressed in for me. And today was an odd day with multiples of levels, but I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And of course, I didn't know Fiona was going to be with us. But it says, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And verse 7 is the place where I really want to see a little more than what we normally look at. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it." Notice it's establishing his kingdom and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And then it says, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." In other words, it's not going to be done by man. He'll use men. He'll use men and women. He'll use little girls like right now being fed by mama. But remember, we're just celebrating Christmas. And Mary held that little baby. Feeding that baby was part of her challenge, because obviously she was away from her family. And this past Sunday we talked about when the kings showed up, bringing provision. Kind of a play on you, but in reality, they could not afford to go to Egypt. They couldn't. You know that because of the fact that they were only able to buy 2 turtle doves when they gave the offering to bring forth the dedication of the child Jesus. Now you also got to remember that Bethlehem's not that far from downtown Jerusalem. A couple miles, I believe, or something like that. So, you know, they had to still do it. But the reality check is that if you were wealthy, you would have had a big gift as an offering for your firstborn. But this was not a big offering. This was a small offering. 2 little turtle doves is about the cheapest thing that you could give. But, as I pointed out on Sunday, you know, they had dreams. They had definite instructions. They carried out those instructions. And now, we're looking at, this was a king that was born. When the wise men came, they didn't come to see a baby that was about to die. They came to see a king, because they themselves were of royalty. They gave royal gifts. Did you think about the reality of gold, frankincense, which gold obviously is the most precious metal? Frankincense, the most incredible aroma that was extremely expensive. And myrrh, which was also a product that could be sold on the market to get the money to finance their trip. So they probably didn't have railroads in those days. It was a long haul. And as I pointed out on Sunday, they left in the middle of the night in haste, because the real king, who had been deceived, wanted to kill, and did kill, the baby boys. So here, we're looking at what was going down the highway, and the establishment of that child was the beginning of his reign. And it talked about the government being on his shoulders. Now, as your neighbor in Christ, and are you and I in Christ? Mm-hmm. So if we are now his bride, are we not also his shoulders? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are the body of Christ because he's already gone into the heavenlies. So he left us as the body of Christ. So if you and I are at the body of Christ, are we also his feet? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the government is on whose shoulders? His, which is us. And today, I was pressed to look at that verse. The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Well, let's take a good look about the growth of the kingdom. Didn't I hear somebody say there was multiplication going on? Well, the multiplication is just not finances. It's also in power and in strength and in overruling the darkness that's been running this world for a long, long time. So I'm going to give you some scriptures about the kingdom and the growth of that. Psalm 72, verse 16. Let grain and abound throughout the land, on the tops of the hills, may it sway, let its fruits flourish like Lebanon, let it thrive like the grass of the field. Then he's talking about the kingdom. In Isaiah 9, verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Then in Isaiah 42, verse 4, it guarantees it. Now hold on, darling. Isaiah 54, verse 3. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. You gave us 4 and 5. Isaiah 55, verse 5. Surely you will summon nations you know not. The nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Isaiah 60, verse 5. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Are you catching on about supply? Isaiah 60, 22. The least of you will become a thousand, and the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time I will do this swiftly. That part was awesome. In its time. In other words, the timing of the Lord about establishing his kingdom in the end is really what we are now beginning, I believe, to see. I also heard this week that right now is the 500th anniversary of the Great Reformation. The Reformation that took place against all of the deceptive rules of the church of that day. When they made that declaration, they said, we're no longer going to believe what you've taught us. We're going to go by what God's word says. It's not about indulgences. It's not about all kinds of works program. You are saved by faith. And as you believe by faith, you will also be manifesting your salvation. Not just your salvation, but your righteousness before Father. So, 500 years of progress actually going in reverse. When you think about it, it's not going backwards in our looking at it, but it is when you're looking at what was in the days of the apostles, where you had signs and wonders and salvation. Okay? But when you now look at the progression, if 400 years ago you had the incredible revelation of the Holy Spirit coming in power on Azusa Street, what about 2017? 1917, what did you have? World War I. But you also had Azusa Street at the beginning of the 1900s. So if you look at it, most people would look at the war. But what was the war for? Think about what the war did. It changed all of Europe. It revitalized many, many people. Instead of their focus being on themselves, they began to recognize that if they didn't defend themselves, they were going to lose everything they had that it was of value. And if it wasn't for America and the believers in the U.S. going out to help, it would have been swallowed up by a very bad plan. The Second World War came after, which really was the same war. And so, in the progress, what was happening in the realm of the spirit? There was an adjustment going on in the earth. No different than today. We think there's nothing happening, but there is something happening. There's always prepared stuff that's going on. And the world system is definitely shaking right now because of what England did this past summer, what happened in November, what's happening now in January, and more to come. And I do believe without a shadow of a doubt that the government is our responsibility to keep those that are in authority covered by our prayer, covered by grace and mercy and all the things that we need to pray for as the Holy Spirit leads. You know, we need to pray for President Obama and his family. And there was something that was kind of a, well, both my wife and I kind of giggled at this. You know, I love President Obama because he has really a conviction in his heart about what he teaches and what he gives. But here he's been against the wall for downtown Texas, but his new home in Washington, he's building a wall. Well, why is he putting up a wall if he doesn't believe in them? Is there maybe fear that's involved in his own family? Because if he was living in the middle of Texas, it wouldn't be too bad. But if he was close to one of those borders where there's bad people coming across without any hindrance, would he still think the same? And they didn't insult him on the news bulletin. They just showed the pictures of the wall being taken down. There's a few bricks that are being removed, and it's a very, very nice mansion, etc., that he's going to be living in. But did anybody else happen to see it?
I didn't see the wall. I saw the house.
You saw the house?
Yeah.
But the comment was, there's a wall going up. And so, you know, I said to the Lord, some people would mock him. They would insult him. But in reality, what it says about him is maybe he would be ready now to understand that protecting our borders is very important. And the government is on us to intercede. Our job is to make sure that the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of grace and favor and love will continue. And it'll continue to touch every heart. And I'm not against bringing people in from other countries. That's not where I'm coming from. Because myself, I came from Canada. And why am I here? Because it was God's plan. Okay? I was not the child that was wanted. I was the child that came that really didn't need to come. Except I obviously came in and it was a challenge for both of them. And they obviously gave me away. And the rest is history. But what I'm getting at is this. When God prepares a man or a woman for a kingdom position, is there anything that's going to stop it? Mm-mm. Why? Because his ultimate goal is to manifest grace to his creation. And the righteous government that he's prepared to bring into our nation. I'm not saying that Mr. Trump is right on everything. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying, however, we need to pray for him now. We need to keep him in covered. We need to make sure that he has the support of the church, because he needs time. Because he's got some plans, and until we see the manifestation of those plans, you know, judging him is not the answer. What we are to do is to support. Support in prayer and in substance as the Holy Spirit leads. I was also led to put a little gold box there, a plate there in front of my brother and his beautiful bride. And of course for Fiona. And if you have a nudge in your heart to bless these three, then let the Holy Spirit lead you. Because that's all I've got to say is, we need to support each other. And I had a sense that there might be a need at your house. So we'll go from there. Amen? Blessings to all of you. Make sure that you each get a hug. Don't spoil the baby. Amen? And amen.
Sunday is Fellowship Sunday.
Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, Fellowship Sunday. So come prepared.